Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, folks, don't forget, you can go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. Download a free app for your iPhone or your Android. That way you can listen to this radio program anywhere in the world at any time. And it's right there on your smartphone. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Operating Engineers Local 66 and IBEW5, both in the Pittsburgh area, and we appreciate their support. Today we're talking with Larry Michel. He is the president of the Economic Policy Institute, often copied by unscrupulous people, but never really matched by any stretch of the imagination. Larry, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, so you're referring to the evil API. mimicked our name and is funded by the fast food franchises to, lower the minimum wage.
At least what that tells you is you're doing the right thing if they have to try and peel off your base. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I understand. And we have a lot of copycats on the right and even some on the center left. So we're glad to have been around for 30 years. Sticking up for making sure that working families are at the forefront of people's concerns when it comes to making economic policy and lifting wages, lowering inequality, raising the living standards for everybody. And that's why we did this report for Labor Day around the importance of unions to today's workers. Mm-hmm. And we've, noted a number of things that I think people need to be aware of. One is that, unions, even if they maybe never were, but they're certainly not the only white male institutions that people, imagine them to be. 46% of the workers that are covered by collective bargaining are women. That's been an increasing share just about every year. Mm-hmm. People of color represent about 36% of the people covered by collective bargaining. And it's not like, white males don't deserve collective bargaining either. I'm just saying that it's more representative. And unions 40 years ago were a very heavily male institution. They're not anymore. And if we do, as I think we necessarily need to do for the country, to rebuild collective bargaining, it will be something that really benefits every segment of the workforce.
Right, absolutely. And, one of the things, Larry, that I think is very interesting about this is when you were doing your research on this, approval ratings have remained strong, north of 50%, north of 60%, and that's all across the spectrum. I mean, repeatedly in Pew polling, it's been cited that 60-65% of the population in the United States would join a union today if it was in their workplace.
Well, I think that's an important thing to note. And, there are many people would like to picture that somehow unions have declined in the union density overall because workers don't want them anymore and that somehow they are outmoded. They're dinosaurs is what the picture people would like to paint. The fact is, however, that, there are millions and millions, large segments of the workforce, as you say, that would choose collective bargaining tomorrow and believe their peers at their workplace would choose if given the chance.
Right.
Which really means there's a lot of unmet demand for collective bargaining. And why don't they get it? Well, a lot of it has to do with the difficulty of organizing and the fact that unions are not out there enough. And mm-hmm. And it's a really hard process to go through. And it's not like voting for, president or senator or mayor. It's a much more different.
Right.
So, that's and it's my view that collective bargaining hasn't become outmoded, but what is outmoded is our legal structure that oversees and promotes collective bargaining. I mean, the law, the National Labor Relations Act, is supposed to support people's ability to obtain collective bargaining, and I don't think anybody involved in this process believes that's the case anymore. So what we do have is a system of regulation that does not really fit the modern economy and employer behaviors. There's hardly any penalties in the and labor law, so that employers, you know, can both do things in the gray area as well as over the line illegally, and there's really no financial penalties for them.
No, you're right. And, you know, it's funny, despite the fact that the field has been skewed greatly, you know, it just labor continues to organize. I mean, we talked with our friends with Teamsters Local 406 up in Michigan. Ever since Right to Work went into place, they've grown by 10-12%. They're getting new calls for organizing work centers all the time. And then in addition to that, when you talk to their organizers, the calls are better quality. People are more willing to get engaged in the steps that need to be done to bring the union into their workplace. And Michigan's not the only place that this is happening.
Well, that's a really good thing to hear. And I know that we are also observing unions now becoming more prevalent in digital media.
Right.
Young people, young, you know, professionals in the, you know, writers and all that. And so, you know, the idea that somehow unions don't fit with the so-called new economy is definitely not true.
Yeah, no, and one of the statistics that you brought forward in the report, the majority of 18 to 29-year-olds in this country are looking for a union.
And unfortunately, they don't know much about unions, which, you know, if they were a critic, you'd say that's why they say that. But, you know, in fact, you know, union, the experience of having someone in your family be involved in collective bargaining, be covered by a union contract, you know, or someone having that direct experience themselves, you know, is not that prevalent anymore, right? Just 11% of the whole workforce is covered by a collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
And, you know, and then so people get a lot of information. Either there's no information that, you know, unions don't appear in popular media, you know, on TV shows, you know, in dramas, and or they get, you know, the view of unions gets refracted through, you know, whatever the media does, you know, want to talk about. In my view, one of the reasons we wrote this report is that we will never get robust middle class wage growth unless we, you know, go back to and have an extensive collective bargaining system. And I don't think we're going to have a robust democracy. I don't think workers are going to have a voice. This is not about rebuilding the Democratic Party or something like that, because,
right,
you know, the people have as much problem sometimes with the Democratic Party as they do with anyone else. But who's there on the case making sure we have a good unemployment comp system, a good worker comp system, that OSHA is going to do the right thing, that employment discrimination is not going to happen? If you have a problem in a union workplace, you know, you go to your business agent, international rep, local union officer, they will put you in touch with the right agency in the federal or state government that helps you, you know, remedy a problem. That doesn't happen. You know, people have a very skewed idea about what their rights are on the job. They think if something is unfair, it's not legal, and that's actually not true.
Right.
You know, you can be fired for being beautiful or for being ugly.
Man, I'm
no problem
in trouble.
If you don't have a union just cause clause that says you can only be, you know, fired for performance-related matters, and being ugly or beautiful doesn't have a lot to do with whether you can do your job.
Right. Larry, very quickly, let me ask you this. Strong unions help non-union people. How?
That's a very important point. So the reason is that when you have a strong collective bargaining presence in a particular occupation or industry, say construction or say metal manufacturing or something like that, the employers in the non-union part of the occupation or industry are very conscious of that, and they will raise their wages and benefits closer to, if not equal to, what the union contracts provide. The reason is they don't want their employees trying to get jobs in the union sector. They don't are afraid, perhaps, that they don't want the union organizers to come and visit their employees and say, listen, this is what you can get from joining the union. So that's been very well documented. It's the non-union workers especially non-college educated, blue-collar workers, have lost thousands of dollars, lose thousands of dollars a year because there is not the presence of unions' strength in many occupations and industries anymore.
Right.
So this is not something about just union workers. It's really about all workers benefit when we have strong collective bargaining.
Absolutely. Larry, listen, we got to get going. How do we find out more about the real EPI?
Well, you go to www.epi.org or just Google Economic Policy Institute. Google why, you know, unions help all workers, and you'll get to EPI's, you know, publications or how does unions help today's workers. You'll get the publication.
Absolutely. Larry, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye, Jeff.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. That was Larry Michel of the Economic Policy Institute. Great guy. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.